Welcome to Crossroad International Church, where it's all about Jesus. If you are in Kuwait and looking for a church to call home, we would love the opportunity to welcome you at one of our Friday services. Now, here's this week's message.
In the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Remember that knowledge and wisdom are not the same thing. Knowledge basically refers to the accumulation of information or the accumulation of facts. Wisdom is know-how, or wisdom is how to apply the knowledge that you have. You can be a very smart person. You can have a lot of knowledge and not be wise. You can have a lot of knowledge and do some really foolish things and believe some really foolish things. In lesson four, we talked about the omniscience of God, or that God is all-knowing. Not only does God have all knowledge, but he has the wisdom to apply that knowledge to see that his works are accomplished. Because God has all knowledge, and he has the wisdom to apply that knowledge, you and I should have no problem whatsoever turning our lives over to God and trusting him as our sovereign master, the Lord of everything. Because in his wisdom and in his knowledge and in his strength and in his love, God takes care of us. There's a little saying I've said over and over: God is too wise to make a mistake, too powerful to fail, and he loves us too much to hurt us. In several Bible verses, God's wisdom is mentioned with God's strength. God has the wisdom to apply his knowledge, and he has the strength to make sure that it happens. We can trust him. We can turn our lives over to him and trust in his wisdom. So what does the wisdom of God look like? We need to know what this wisdom is so that when we see it, we can recognize it and we can apply it to our lives. In James chapter 3, verse 17, it tells us what wisdom is, what God's wisdom is. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, and it's gentle, it's willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. So I want to go through each one of these briefly. God's wisdom is first pure. Because God is pure, everything God does is pure. And I think purity comes first, that God's wisdom is pure, because without purity, it's very hard for us to see God. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." We need to apply the wisdom of God in our lives. We need to make sure that our lives are pure. This purity means free from all moral stain. Now, in our own self, in our own ability, that's impossible. Because we're human. and we have a fallen nature. But when we come to God, when we come to Jesus as our Savior, we have the power then to put our lives right with Him and to walk in purity. One of the problems is purity puts us out of step with the world. Because you don't have to go very far, read very many newspapers, or listen to the news to know that things of this world are not very pure. If you need the world's approval, then you're already out of step with God's wisdom. Amen. You know, that was one of the things that was the hardest for me to deal with when I first got saved, was not needing the approval of people, but only needing God's approval. Think about work. Do you do what God tells you, or do what you think the people want you to do? Wisdom is following what God wants us to do and believing that God in His strength and His love will take care of us. God's wisdom, second, is peaceable. The Greek word translated peaceable talks about our attitude during a time of conflict. In James chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, it says that there is a wisdom of this world, and the wisdom of this world is demonic. The wisdom of this world is unspiritual, and it is earthly, and it always brings chaos. Have you ever been in situations where everything is chaotic? Or have you ever met people when they come into a room, everything goes haywire? It's because they are with earthly wisdom. But God's wisdom is different. See, God's wisdom from above fills us with light. And we will be agents of peace. If you're filled with earthly wisdom, you're peace breakers. Because it's all about me. Do whatever I can to get my way. I saw that firsthand this morning. I was on the 40 coming in just before the fifth ring. And there was a wreck. Three ambulances, all the police cars, everybody stopped. The cars are backed up. And I look in my mirror, and in the emergency lane is this delivery truck flying down the right side emergency lane, never slowed up, hit the back car and plowed that car through about four or five other cars all the way up to the front, right next to the police and the ambulances. The police all left the other accident. The one ambulance EMS was working on a guy in that car, and all the rest of them ran over to see what was happening. See, this guy thought everybody else has stopped, but I don't have to stop. I'll just whip around the side, and he whips around the side at speed and finds out that lane's full too. And now he's just caused another major accident. Why? Because he had to do it his way. No wisdom or wisdom of the world. See, when we have the wisdom of God, it fills us with peace, and we are peaceable. We are peace-loving people. Proverbs 14, 29 to 30. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. And a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. That word there in verse 30 for a sound heart could be translated a peaceful heart. When we have a peaceful heart, it gives life to the body. Number three, God's wisdom is gentle. This means gentle, non-combative, not quarrelsome, not easily annoyed or not easily provoked. How do you respond under pressure. If you have to shout, you lose. If you have to make threats, you lose. But if you believe in Jesus, you can be gentle because he was gentle with us. We need this quality of God's wisdom of being gentle when we're dealing with difficult people. We need it when we deal with Christians who have fallen into sin, friends who disappoint us, and especially parents. We need this when our kids tend to be a bit rebellious at times. The young man you saw on the video, my son Jacob, my firstborn, his head is about as hard and as thick as the concrete in the floor of this room we're standing in. And there were times where we went round and round and round and round with him because he decided that if something was right, that's what he was going to do. It didn't matter what mom and dad wanted him to do. I remember one time he decided, I'm not going to do any more homework. I don't need to do school anymore. And we were homeschooling. Well, mom's the teacher and dad's the principal. So when the teacher couldn't deal with it, he was sent to the principal's office. And finally, I told him, I said, Jake, I'm going to read a Bible verse to you and we're going to stick to it. And the Bible verse I read says, unless a man works, neither shall he eat. I said, so you have a choice. Do your homework, you can eat. Don't do your homework, you don't eat. So that night for supper, no homework, no food. The next morning for breakfast, no homework, no food. I don't remember if it was 3 or 4 meals that he missed before he realized that homework really wasn't that bad. But I didn't beat him like I wanted to. I actually, God gave me wisdom in the situation on how to deal with it. And now he is the head of this ministry that's touching several nations in East Africa. But we need that gentleness of God when we deal with people. Maybe you've got somebody at work that really just rubs you the wrong way. Can you be gentle with them? Let me read a scripture to you and maybe it'll change your mind. Psalm 103 and verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad God doesn't deal with us according to what we deserve? It's called his mercy. Sometimes we need to not deal with those we work with according to what they deserve, but show them some mercy. Number 4, God's wisdom is willing to yield. Willing to yield. Earthly wisdom is arrogant and stubborn. It refuses to listen and has no desire to hear anyone else's opinion. But God's wisdom is willing to yield. The Greek word means easily persuaded. Not that they're wimpy, not that they don't have convictions, but this wisdom of God, this wisdom that is Willing to yield means I will listen to what the other person says. This kind of wisdom can disagree agreeably. We can agree to disagree on certain things. This type of wisdom can discuss our deep convictions without losing our temper. There's a lot of people that need this when they start talking politics. Amen. This type of wisdom can listen kindly to someone who holds a different position. This type of wisdom that is willing to yield says that you don't have to be exactly like me for me to accept you. Be glad that CIC is not exactly like me. You probably wouldn't be here. But see, we have a broad spectrum of people in this church from many different nations, different nationalities, different backgrounds, a broad spectrum of the body of Christ. And why can we meet together? Because of this wisdom of God that easily yields. Here at CIC, if it's essential for salvation, the blood of Jesus. If it's essential, the Bible is the Word of God. Those things we stand united on. But things that are not essential for our going to heaven. What kind of songs do we sing? Do we sing choruses or do we sing hymns? Do you have to wear a suit or can I come to church in jeans or shorts or whatever? See, some of those things we can give each other liberty. Different understandings of the end times. When is Jesus coming back? Before, in the middle, or after the tribulation? Those kinds of things, we don't know. All I know is we need to be ready, and when he comes, I'm going with him. Okay, regardless of when it happens. Those things are not essential to salvation, so we give each other liberty. But in everything we do, we love one another. I was telling somebody the other day in our life group on Sunday night, you know, I'm Pentecostal by background, and one of my best friends in Kenya as a missionary was Southern Baptist. Well, we're about opposite ends of the spectrum theologically. So we would sit in a hotel room at night when we would do outreach, and he would talk about his doctrine, and I would talk about my doctrine, and we would get in some heated arguments. But we loved each other. But the next day, we would go out together, and we would preach the gospel and see people saved. And it didn't matter whether they went to his church or our church. That wasn't the point. The point was we told them about Jesus. We agreed to disagree on those minor doctrines, but we agreed completely that the gospel had to be preached. Number five, God's wisdom is full of mercy and good fruit. See, mercy is more than a feeling. Mercy is seeing a need and meeting it. Mercy is not giving people what they deserve. And then we back it up with grace by giving them what they do not deserve. If you don't know it, we live in an unmerciful world. And God's mercy is needed. See, God calls us to a higher standard than the world. Let me give you a definition of mercy. Do unto others as God has done unto you. Very simple. You know, we say do unto others as you want others to do unto you, but no, do unto others like God has done to you. Be a reflection of God in your life to others. But the world would say, do unto others before they have a chance to do it to you. But that's not God's wisdom. Think back across the last 12 months. In the last year, how has God treated you? How has God blessed you? Then treat others that same way and bless them. Has God forgiven you over the last year? Then forgive others. Has God lifted you up when you were down? Then find somebody to lift up. Has God overlooked your faults in the last year? Then be willing to overlook the faults of others and love them and give them the gospel. Number six, God's wisdom is without partiality. That word is only used here in the New Testament, and it means holding firm to a standard. We must stand for the word of God without partiality. We have a standard. We don't act one way with this group of people and another way with another group of people. We are the same, whether in public or in private. We don't treat one group better than the other. We are without partiality. Number seven, the last one, is God's wisdom is without hypocrisy. It means not playing the part. During this time in the acting theaters of the age, the actors would wear masks, and they would put the mask on, and they would act their part. And you would have one actor that maybe played five or six different parts in the play just by changing their mask. And many times we are the same way. At home, we have one mask. At work, maybe we wear a different mask. When we come to church, we have a Christian mask. But hopefully, what you see is what you get. That we are the same in every situation. That's what God is looking for. No hypocrisy. I had a man tell me one time, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. I said, it doesn't keep you out the bar, and it's full of hypocrites too. Amen. But we as the people of God need to be without hypocrisy. And I want to finish up quickly by how do we apply God's wisdom to our life. J.I. Parker said, wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and the highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. Wisdom is, in fact, the practical side of moral goodness. As such, it is found in its fullness only in God. He alone is naturally and entirely and invariably wise. So living a life with godly wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Living under the wisdom of the Lord grows by receiving God's word. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, and the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. To live in the wisdom of God, we must be men and women of the Word. Living in God's wisdom requires not trusting in our own wisdom. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. See, human wisdom is worldly. Don't rely upon your own wisdom. And then lastly, if you want to live with the wisdom of God, you have to be humble enough to realize you don't have it yourself and ask for it. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Life is hard, but it's easier when we have God's wisdom. See, many times we face problems and situations and we don't know what to do and we need wisdom. But sometimes we're too stubborn or too prideful to simply ask God, I don't know what to do, help me. See, many times we try to use God like a doctor. We go to the doctor and he gives us the diagnosis and we don't like it. So we go get a second opinion. Well, let me tell you, God's opinion doesn't need to be verified. When God tells you what to do, we simply need to do it. See, godly wisdom, asking Him for wisdom, says, God, give me your wisdom, and whatever you show me, I will follow. But that's dangerous. Because then we have to do what He shows us to do. I've told you this testimony before. For 4 years in Bible college, on Tuesday nights, I prayed, God, send missionaries to Africa. Because one of the requirements of being in the Bible school is we had to pray for missions. And the only missionary I had ever heard of was Livingston, and he happened to be in Africa, so I joined the African prayer meeting. And then in 1984, God answered my prayer. He said, go. I said, God, I never asked you to send me. He said, are you a worker? Yes. Then go. And God's done some amazing things. Are you willing to ask Him for wisdom and then do what He tells you? Maybe you're facing a situation at work right now and you need God's wisdom. Do I stay or do I go? Do I take this job or this job? Do I go to this country or that country? You need to ask God for His wisdom. And when you spend time in prayer and fasting over that situation and God gives you wisdom and tells you what to do, are you willing to listen and obey? Because I can guarantee you, if you follow God, it may not be easy, but it'll be better than following your own way. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you, Father, that you are wise. I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for your understanding. Father, I thank you that you are all-knowing. You are the omniscient one. But you also have the wisdom to apply that knowledge Father, you said you know the plans that you have for us, and they are plans for good and not for evil. Father, help every one of us to trust you, to trust in your wisdom, that truly you are too wise to make a mistake. And Father, you have the power to make your plans come to pass. Not one word that you speak will return unto you void. And Father, where you lead, you will supply. Father, help every one of us to be sensitive to that still small voice that says, go this way or go that way. And Father, we thank you tonight or this morning for being with us. We thank you, you are too wise to make a mistake, too powerful to fail. And Father, above all else, you love us too much to hurt us. Help us to humble ourselves before you and to ask for your wisdom so that we can make wise decisions. Father, every person in this room at one time or another has made a decision based on what they wanted to do and their own understanding and their own wisdom, and it didn't work out very well. But Father, when we hear your voice and we have your wisdom, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to your purpose. And we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.